Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Earl. Hour two kicks off on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Thanks a ton for making this Wednesday show part of your schedule. Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus at PFF underscore Sam on Twitter is on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. I always enjoy looking at his content. Sam, I want to start with how bad the Cowboys are, as they are in full-on sell mode, it appears. We were just kicking this around on the show, and it sounds wacky, but I want to get your thoughts. If Dallas played the Jets this weekend, who would you pick?
Oh, God. I would pick Dallas, and I'd regret it the same way I've picked them and regretted it for the last, like, 3 weeks running. It's bad. I mean, everything's falling to pieces. They even infected CeeDee Lamb last week, who had no catches but three drop passes, and he's been, you know, one of their shining lights this season as a rookie. It's the first game of his rookie season where he's caught less than five catches and 50 yards. Like, Dallas is just a disaster right now, and it's getting worse because now they're down another quarterback. Obviously, with the nasty hit to Andy Dalton, they're down to a Ben DiNucci starting a quarterback. So, yeah, things are a mess right now.
Sam, is Tampa the best team in the NFC?
I think you can make a pretty strong case that they are. I know the record doesn't show it, but look, for them more than most teams, I think you have to kind of throw out week one. This is a team that had so many new pieces coming in, new system, the melding of Tom Brady and Bruce Arians and all that that meant, and there was no preseason to get it all together. There was, you know, a weird training camp series. There was no kind of normalcy to get things started, and week one was against the Saints, who everybody expected to be a Super Bowl favorite team, so that's one of their defeats. I don't think is a particularly big black mark against the team at this point in the season. And then their other loss was, you know, a Thursday night game where Tom Brady forgot how many downs there are in a game of football, and that's probably not something that's going to happen more than once ever. So you can almost, you know, explain away both of their defeats and look beyond that, and you see them destroying a good Green Bay team. You see them looking like a phenomenal side that's coming together right now, and they've been dealing with injuries. Like, all those array of superstars they've had on offense, most of them have been hurt and not 100%, and Tom Brady's had to carry this thing largely by himself. So, yeah, I think you can make a case that the Bucs right now are the best team in the NFC.
One of the two NFC teams with a better record than Tampa Bay is Seattle. Can the Seahawks win a Super Bowl with their defense?
They can, but it gives them a really small margin for error. I mean, Russell Wilson needs to continue this on-fire streak that he's had this season all the way through the year, and he's going to have to battle against his own defense, which isn't going to be able to stop people. It's, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are a good example of this. You don't need a defense to be great. You just need it to be good enough to hold up a little bit every now and again whilst your offense is going to be dominating every single week. And obviously the Chiefs showed you can win a Super Bowl that way, But that's what it means for Russell Wilson, that if your defense is going to be at this level, you're going to need him to play like the best quarterback in the NFL every single week. You're going to need him and the rest of that offense to be on fire. There's just no margin for error the way there is if you have a much better defense that can have games where it shows up and, you know, genuinely shuts down the opposition.
At PFF underscore Sam for our guest, Sam Monson, our Pro Football Focus. Sam, what do you expect from Miami with Tua taking over?
I'm intrigued to see. It's this rookie group of quarterbacks has been so impressive. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, those guys have both been doing an incredible amount of stuff despite some really bad pass protection in front of both of them. Tua is going to be stepping into the same kind of situation, even if a lot of people don't necessarily realize it, because the sack totals aren't high in Miami. So everybody thinks that that offensive line has taken big steps forward when it really hasn't. Well, it has taken a big step forward, but it's gone from being one of the worst offensive lines we've ever seen last year to now just being one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL. It's still far from good, but it has taken a big step. But Ryan Fitzpatrick has been protecting that offensive line a huge amount this season. He's been getting the ball out of his hands historically fast. He's been doing an extremely good job on the blitz or against the blitz when they send it against him. His numbers again under pressure are good. Fitzpatrick has made that offensive line look a lot better than it's been. And it just means that when Tua comes in, the line is immediately almost certainly going to look a lot worse and put him under a ton of pressure. And that doesn't mean he can't succeed in the face of that. We've seen that from the other young rookie quarterbacks. But it just means it's a tougher situation to put him into than I think a lot of people realize. And it wouldn't shock me to see him struggle early because that situation isn't great.
Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus on Grant and Danny. Who's going to win the NFC East?
Nobody. There's no winner of the NFC East. It's time to disband the division, hand the trophy over to the Rams this season, who are 4-0 against the NFC East, and rejoin things in 2021 and see what we can do. I mean, honestly, the Eagles just put themselves in pole position to win it by going top. They've got a quarterback back playing, you know, a reasonable level of football. I don't think he's ever going to get back to that 2017 MVP caliber performance, because I think that was so dependent on having a great offensive line and having a great group of weapons. And, you know, until they surround Carson Wentz with those again, we're not going to see that player. But Carson Wentz playing the way he is right now is the best quarterback in the division, which probably gives them the best chance of winning the division.
Is New England in as big a trouble as I think they are? All the guys that opted out look prescient now. I thought they were going to be okay. They missed Cam a couple weeks ago because of the COVID test, but he started off well. They had Seattle beat, you know, goal line stop. Next thing you know, they can't do anything on offense at this point, Sam.
Yeah, I think you're right that they'd already lost a lot of talent, and then all the COVID opt-outs, they were by far the biggest team in the league in terms of guys bailing from this season. I think that's finally started to catch up with them, and they just don't have the talent they need to patch up the problems that they have. And Cam Newton's game against Seattle is looking more and more like just an anomaly in his season. It's a huge outlier compared to what we've seen the rest of the year and what we've seen from him the past few seasons battling through injury in Carolina. Cam Newton doesn't look capable of carrying an offense with as little talent around him as he has in New England, even if, you know, McDaniels is doing a reasonable job of scheming things up. Like, they just don't have the talent top to bottom on this roster to contend with good teams. And the 49ers have their own problems, and they still absolutely destroyed New England. So, yeah, I think this is probably going to be the worst New England team we've seen during the Belichick era, perhaps.
Speaking of San Francisco, is anybody doing a better coaching job right now than Kyle Shanahan?
No, I don't think anybody is doing a better job than him. What he's able to do, despite the relative lack of talent at quarterback, not necessarily overall, but certainly when Jimmy Garoppolo has been injured and kind of restricted with what he's been able to do, and then the Nick Mullins, CJ Beathard stuff, like, Kyle Shanahan almost has a quarterback-proof offense, which in today's NFL is insane. Like, the quarterback has never been more important than it is right now in the NFL. And Shanahan has a system that almost doesn't need him to be a big part of this offense. Like, when Jimmy Garoppolo has been dealing with that ankle injury, Shanahan has him with one of the lowest average depths of target in the NFL. He's basically just delivering the ball to playmakers in space and relying entirely on yards after the catch and the run game. And that shouldn't function in today's NFL, but he's so good at scheming it up that it does, and it's hard to stop.
Sam, great with us as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Anytime. Take it easy.
Appreciate Go check 20. Out his work at Pro Football Focus, Sam Monson on Grant and Danny. You're locked into 106.7 The Fan, 30 minutes from a double play. Next on GND, should the Washington football team make a push to try to win the NFC East? Guys, Grant Paulson from my friends at Lindsay Chevrolet. Been telling you about Lindsay Chevy for a while. There's a reason for that. I've been getting my cars from Lindsay Chevy for many years. They've been taking great care of me. And I want you guys to be well taken care of. I've sent friends over there, sent family over there when they've needed a new ride. The GM's name is Paul Smith. Paul Smith is a huge listener of the show. He is a big-time fan of DC Sports. He'll chop it up with you. You can go deep on the Nats farm system. Whatever you want to talk about, Paul Smith has you covered. More importantly, though, he's going to get you in a ride for a great price. 2020 model year-end ticking right now. The inventory reduction has started. No better time for deals than truck month. Silverados up to $15,000 off. Equinoxes, Blazers, Traverses. Get ready for winter, people. Up to $9,000 off. Camaros, Malibus, Traxxas. Something for everyone. Save up to $8,000 off. 0% for 72 months. No payments for 90 days. 130% of KBB for your trade. You'll love it at Lindsay. Go find new roads. Danny, it stinks that here we are on October 28th. I mean, if you'd have told me this in March, it would have just been devastating to hear this. And we're still updating things in this regard. But with the elevated spike in cases, deaths, and Wisconsin here recently, the virus has crept into the Badgers program. So Wisconsin is a top 10 team in the country. They came back on the 23rd. They played. They won 45-7. They have already had to call their game with Nebraska this weekend.
Oh, bummer.
Which is a big, big deal for the Big Ten because, remember, they hesitated in coming back. And so by doing that, by coming back later than everybody else, there is no makeup time frame for them that we know of. So unless they do something way off the beaten path that nobody's really expected or suggested to this point, there is a chance when these games get lost that they can't make them up. And again, this is a team very much in the hunt for the college football playoff. But they will not play this weekend. And the story I just saw is that they're pausing their program for a full week with elevated cases spiking within the program right now. So I wouldn't even think there's a guarantee that they play next weekend because that means they're going to reassess next Wednesday, essentially. But they've been back for 5 days. They played the one game. They won by 38 points. They looked great. So it's, man, just a brutal break for Wisconsin, for college football, for the Big Ten, because they don't have the margin for error in the wiggle room that some of these other conferences had that came back earlier where you can build in some dates to try to make these games up.
Just a bummer. And again, we got used to doing all these caveats throughout the spring and summertime. Obviously, there are bigger issues in the world than college football, but we're a sports show, so we're just talking about the sports element of it. I feel bad, man. I really do. I feel bad for these programs, for these kids, fans, whatever. They'll get over it. They're watching on TV for the most part anyhow. But for the kids, I mean, all they've done is everything they've been asked to do for the most part, right? They've worked really hard their whole lives to get to this spot, and instead of getting the full slate of games where you have a finite amount of time to play sports at a really, really high level in front of a bunch of people that give a damn about it, a slim few get to go play pro football, and that's awesome. But for the most part, you go through 4 years, you get some semblance of an education, and you got to go join the real world. You get robbed of games, man. And this experience is not what it's supposed to be. So I do. I feel for the kids.
Yeah, I do too. And I guess that's – I'm glad you point that out, right? Because someone listening is going, is this guy serious? He's talking about the college football team? I think it goes without saying that what's going on around the country is still very sad and crippling and demoralizing, and I feel terrible for the people that are getting this virus, some of whom who are dying. It's awful. Now, I'm speaking about this from the perspective of just what the Big Ten and Wisconsin's trying to get through to have a season. But, yes, your point is correct. And, I mean, I guess outside of college football, again, specific to Wisconsin, to clean up something I'd said, when I say that they had a record number of cases and deaths within their state on Tuesday that they had not had, and I only bring that up to say that the football team doesn't get to not deal with that. That's still something that they deal with, right? I mean, so You can tell me you're going to bubble things off, baseball or these other sports. You can't bubble a football program with a close to 100 young people. And while the teams have done a way better job, and the sports, the conferences rather, within the sport have done a much more successful job at avoiding getting COVID than I could have ever imagined, it can still infiltrate. So when there are 5,200 cases yesterday and 64 deaths in Wisconsin, and the governor is saying that it's a nightmare scenario and asking people to stay home, which is what's happening right now, that can affect the team. And so people in the Big Ten or otherwise are going to blame a player or say this kid shouldn't have been doing this. This happens. It's a really, really hard virus not to get. It's going to spread if you're out and about living your life. And that's what they're trying to do, and that's what happens. So hopefully the cases don't grow over the next several days. Hopefully in 1 week, Danny, they're able to get back on the field and keep playing and everybody's healthy and safe and they don't have any issues where players are in bad shape. But, you know, when the Big Ten came back, we had a takeaway. You and I said, okay, well, good for them to try this, but they have now exhausted any option they have to get through their season. So I don't know how that gets held against them in terms of games played at the end of the year and trying to get to a playoff. We're in uncharted waters here now.
Yeah, well, we've been in uncharted. This is even further out there. I mean, this is, we're in water world looking for land at this point. You know, I mean, it's, we may as well grow gills like Kevin Costner did. This is a mess because you touched on it. You, by starting late, you lost a, hey, you know, because we're not going to do an out of conference schedule for the most part. You've lost the extra weeks where you could push something back or reschedule it or whatever. If you get an outbreak, which unfortunately, and I hope it's not, but it sounds like this might be, as if it's ripping through the locker room into the coaching staff and whatever, if that's the case, then do we just lose Wisconsin? Do we just lose the Wisconsin football program, which means they can't go, which means a couple other teams that are going to play them for their, to try to boost their resume, the Ohio States of the world and otherwise? Did we lose them too because of it? I don't know.
And to confirm, Eric Olson has this, who covers the team, and Tom just sent this to us. He's an AP writer in Nebraska. They're not using the word postponed, so if I use that, that's the wrong word. They're saying that this game was canceled.
Canceled.
With Nebraska, which you're not hearing in some of these other conferences. Like I saw a couple of teams, I think it was in the MAC, had to bang some games, and they're not sure what's going to happen yet. They're just saying flat out canceled. Pete Thamel, who covers college football for Yahoo, said that figure includes 6 student athletes and 6 staff members, including head coach Paul Christ. Additional test results are pending. So this is coaches and players as they now find out how much it has spread. So, oof, stinks for Wisconsin, the first of the Big Ten teams to be affected. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Next, we can get into whether or not Washington is going to make a push for the division, or should they do what Dallas is doing and take a real good long look in the mirror to find out what they are and maybe start moving some pieces? You're listening to G&D. Washington's got 3 options. They can buy and try to add talent to this team. Maybe go get themselves a wide receiver or safety, something like that, and try to win the NFC East. They can stand pat and just kind of do what they're doing and see where that gets them in a bad NFC East. Or they can sell. Say, you know what, doesn't matter if we win the division. We're not going anywhere if we get to the playoffs. Let's get rid of an asset or two. They don't have many of them, but if that's Ryan Kerrigan or that's Ryan Anderson's name keeps coming up for whatever reason, you know, guys like that, and someone wants to trade you a draft pick, then let's do that. Of those 3 options, Danny, buy, stand pat, sell, what would you say they should do?
Well, you know me. I have a pretty hard line sense of philosophies when it comes to team building and the way you should go about it, right? There are exceptions, obviously. But for me, if I'm not great, I keep trying to be great. I don't try to be okay. I never, ever pull off the highway to okay. And that's what adding would do. And I even think that's what standing pat would do, honestly. They need as many assets as possible, bites at the apple. I would sell, but I understand that's not what's going to happen. I understand a lot of fans would object to that. I don't care about being the tallest hill. I want to be the tallest mountain. I want to be the unstoppable juggernaut that's good every single year for an extended period of time, which they haven't been in 30 years. This isn't the way to do that, just to sort of limp along. You do what Miami did. You do what the Raiders did. That may not work out for them, but that process is excellent. That's what should be happening. I would sell, but I understand that's not going to be popular or what they'll do, frankly.
Yeah, I'm going to stand pat. I'm not buying. I wouldn't hate it, per se, if they added a piece that could be here beyond this season. I have zero interest in a rental. If they were able to trade for a player who improves them today and next year and the year after, okay, no problem. I don't have an issue with that whatsoever. I guess I'd rather buy in that sense than sell if you're upgrading your team for the next couple of years. But I'm not doing anything to improve November and December with no thought to the future, meaning just trading a fifth-round pick for someone who's going to be a free agent.
You're not giving up a two for somebody that will help you.
Or six or a seven, to be honest. I mean, just for 2 months of a guy. I'm not in that business. My answer then is that I would stand pat. I think there's way more value in trying to win the division than you do. And I guess maybe more accurately, I think that it's the entire point of the process, you know, to be great at some point long term, to have sustainable success. And where we'll disagree is I don't think them, if they're not mortgaging their future in any way, making a concerted effort to try to win this bad division in any way knocks them off course. It makes it harder to do that in the future. So as long as they're not trading pieces that can help them down the road or, you know, draft picks that can be beneficial, then I got no problem. I think they can have their cake and eat it too. I think they can walk and chew gum. They have a terrible division. If you can win that thing at 7-9 while also focusing on next year and the year after, no problem. Try to do that. Let's go to Darren and McLean on Grant and Danny. What's up, Darren? How are you?
Hey, how's it going? I have to agree with Danny. I agree with you, Danny, man. I just feel like I don't really see any incentive in winning the division this year. I mean, we really don't have a really good team or even a good team at that. We have one main receiver, no tight ends. I mean, winning the division would be nice, but I would like the team to build on a plan for the future instead of the present.
Here's the problem I have, and you can stay on the line. We can go back and forth a little bit. This notion that if they win the division this year, it's somehow a detriment, or if trying to win the division this year is somehow a detriment to the future plan. If they were to trade draft picks to rent players, you'd be right. I don't think anybody thinks they're going to do that. Even, you know, people who say, well, they really want to win the division. Does anybody really believe that they're about to try to go acquire, you know, let's say, I'm just picking a name, but who's a wide receiver that we've seen available, Danny? Give me a wide out they could trade.
A.J. Green.
A.J. Green, thank you. I don't know, yeah. Does anybody really think they're about to trade a three for A.J. Green? If they did that, then yeah, I would agree with you and Danny. That was silly. That's not really the point. The point is, should they continue kind of going along the path that they are, or should they try to mortgage their future? I don't think anybody would think they'd mortgage their future. In what way would them winning the division be harmful to them in the future, though?
Well, I would say, you know, the schedule is going to be harder next year. Winning the division this year, I would say next year's schedule is going to be a lot harder. And I just feel like we'll just continue this cycle of being 6-10, 9-7, and then 5-11, and 3-13 again. We won a division.
We've seen the historical examples of that. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. GP, let me answer the question.
Can I make a point real quick on that?
Oh, please go. Sure.
Who has the toughest remaining schedule in football right now?
Top of my head, I don't know.
Nobody would, right? Jacksonville. Terrible last year. The idea that, like, next year's schedule when it comes out and we know what's tough and what isn't, the Jaguars, who have a last-place schedule, who picked in the top of the draft board, Steelers, Ravens, Packers, Titans, Bears, Browns. They have two, quote-unquote, easy opponents left, okay? Those are the Texans, who are better than their record, and the Vikings, who are better than their record. They have the hardest schedule. Other teams with the hardest schedules in football remaining, the Falcons, I think they finished third in their division. The Jets, I don't know what they finished last year. They were not good.
7-9, I think.
Point being really, really good doesn't just inherently mean that your schedule's worse. But
right, year over year, there's a lot of parity. So your question, the way it's framed, winning the division doesn't specifically hamper your future. That of course is true, but that's not the debate to me. The debate is, what are you prioritizing? And I'm prioritizing future above all else. In a year where I know I'm not any good, I know the division's not any good. So if I've got to get worse in the short term, I'm willing to do that at the chance to be great. That's a different philosophy. I think, by the way, your point is a very good one. Because here's what should happen no matter what.
But can you give me an example of, like, practically in application what that looks like? Because I just don't think there's a difference between them doing what they've done all season and continuing on this path and what you're talking about.
Yes, the Miami Dolphins last year trading Fitzpatrick, trading Laremy Tunsil.
But they don't have those players to trade.
No, you're right. They don't. But that philosophy, right, that idea going – and you know what ended up happening is Miami played hard for Coach Flores, won more games than they were supposed to. Miami was supposed to get the first overall pick. They screwed that up by playing hard.
How'd that work out? So terribly. They got Tua.
Well, it worked out great.
You know, they worked out well.
Yeah, but you're missing the point. Here's the point. If the players on the football field end up playing hard and winning more games than they should, that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the not prioritizing from a management team building perspective the future. Right, that's the thing that I'm going to object to. If players on the football, if Jonathan Allen makes a play to win a football game, I'm not like cutting him for that. I'm not like angry that he did that. That's natural. That's normal. These guys compete and play hard, and that means that you want them around for years. They're building blocks. Sometimes building blocks will mess around and win a couple games. Like the Wizards won more games than they should have this year with a bunch of young kids. I don't begrudge that. It ends up, you know, kind of screwing them. They don't end up with a top pick, but as a building thing happens, that's natural. It's
but
an
to the Miami
thing
point,
to win more games than you should.
You just play Josh Rosen just to do it. Well, Josh Rosen, it looks like, isn't good. I wouldn't. I would play Ryan Fitzpatrick because I know Josh Rosen stinks after a handful of games last year, which is what they did. Same thing. You would play Haskins just to do it. We kind of know what Haskins is at this point. But forget the Dolphins because I'm kind of locking in on that team, and that's just an example you're using. In application, can you give me an example of what you're talking about with Washington where you would say, like, this is something they should do that makes them better next year and worse this year. Like, the right, only guy that I really think they could trade and get something for is Ryan Kerrigan. I think that's the only player on this team. So I don't know where the applicable, practical examples of what you're talking about are.
It's a great point. And, again, it speaks to how under-talented they are, by the way, in a lot of spots.
Or just how much all of their talent that they like is very young. You know, the guys that Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson, their entire defensive line, like those guys you don't want to trade because they're on rookie deals and they're really good.
In some cases. In other cases, they've got, you know, sort of middling veterans on their offensive line. They've got some older linebackers that are – I would trade Kevin Pierre-Louis,
they're not
for
a good
example,
team. But my point is their best players largely are guys that they want to keep around, which is a decent problem to have.
And keep those guys around. I'm all in favor of that. Kerrigan's the best example. Again, someone that I love, but – this is about the good of the uniform over the good of an individual guy. They're going to keep it. They're going to keep everybody. They're going to go all in because they want some sort of validation. They want to look better, I think, is ultimately, you know, to kind of reinforce this new culture. And it's not the worst move in the world. But to me, I would be cutthroat. If I'm not good, I'm going to be not good on my terms. And I'm going to build as much as possible for the future.
The Kerrigan trade is the one example I think that's interesting and where you could say here's an example. I don't know if I'm making my point well because I'm having a hard time voicing it. I'm saying I don't think there are teams occasionally where you can look at the roster and say, I can't believe they just parred the course. I can't believe they just kept driving down that road. I don't think they're in a spot, though. Like, if they had a bunch of tradable commodities, the Cowboys are a really good example. They brought in veterans like Everson Griffin, who absolutely would be of interest to teams. And guess what they did? They traded that guy yesterday. But in a world where Everson Griffin just got you a sixth-round pick, I'm sorry, but Ryan Anderson is getting you, what, a 20-29 seventh?
At best, yeah. But
they don't have anybody to move. So when people say, well, they shouldn't just keep par in the course, like I don't get – I'm just trying to find ways where they're going against what anyone that wants to, quote-unquote, like build for the future would do. I think they are building for the future, and they just happen to – it's October 28th. Like, there are games coming up. They have to play those games. I'm sorry that they have to play those games, but they have to do that. And in this division, they might actually be able to win the thing. That doesn't mean that they're not prioritizing next year or the year after.
I would and listen, and you may get nothing. And the offers may not be there. I don't just make trades to hear myself talk or to send a fax to Roger Goodell. But does somebody want John Bostic? Kevin Pierre-Louis is having a career year. Could he help somebody down the stretch? Thomas Davis is a veteran. You know, somebody experiences an injury at linebacker. You couldn't get a conditional sixth for him. You turn a couple sixths into a fifth. You find another Cole Holcomb. Again, no one's talking about franchise-altering deals like Miami got. You don't have those kind of players, and it doesn't make sense to you at this point. I'm saying I would prioritize it. So if an offer comes across my desk, I'm going next year over this year, as kind of my default. But there probably won't be any offers. And that's the other big part of this that's going to support your side of the argument.
And my guess is I think Rivera would do that. You know, I believe that if, let's just say, Dontrell Inman was better.
That made me laugh.
I'm trying to think of a good veteran here. But regardless, yeah. like a Jag number two. Like, let's say he's Mo Sanu, okay, or something. And I know he's a free agent, so he's not a great example. But and if someone said, we're going to give you a four right now for Mo Sanu, I think Ron Rivera would go, cool, no problem.
Awesome.
And he would go into the meeting room and say, we're not worse as a football team, guys. I didn't do anything to make your jobs harder. We got two plans here. Rizzo's the best at this. I got this year, and I got 3 years, and I got 5 years from now. And sometimes all of those things can work together. And I just think for the most part right now that they're kind of in line together. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Let's get to our double play next. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I did get the box shipment yesterday that I told you about.
Oh.
We can talk about that on The Fan.
Guys, Danny Rivera here from a pal. So Tedbert Ford, be fresh for fall. The Tedbert Ford in Fairfax and Chantilly. 0% financing for 60 months on a truckload of new 2020 Ford models. Here's your Stone Cold Steve Austin bottom line. They got to go. 2020s have to go. It's no longer their time. The 2021s are here. They're new. They're shiny. They need to get those 2020s off the lot. But guess what? Those 2020s are awesome. Like the 2020 F-150 XLT. Huh? How about that? Your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Ford, $11,100 below the MSRP. Take advantage. 2020 Explorers, 0% financing, 60 months, plus $3,500 cash back. How about $7,000 off the MSRP on the 2020 Ford Mustang? Ranger trucks, $6,100 below the MSRP right now at Tedbert Ford. You got to go see these guys. They're great at what they do. How do I know that? Well, I'm a multiple-time customer myself. And they've been doing this for more than 60 years. You don't just luck box your way into that. You got to be great. And they have been. Go see them and tell them Danny sent you.
Nope. 12 o'clock hour. Right now, though, it's time for our double play. Danny, if you want, I can provide some resolution to something we talked about on the show yesterday.
Yeah, I got a little tiny story that is not really that timely. It's a funny, hey, this is the time we're in kind of tale right now, and it's mildly amusing. I need this payoff. I'm so invested in this running saga, I need a resolution. I yield to you, sir.
Previously on this episode of Grant and Danny, so about a week or so ago on Instagram, I posted a story. And I didn't think much of it. I was just kind of in the moment. I recorded my wife, and I said, hey, just so you know, I ordered something. It's a couple $100. I never really order anything for the house. And she's designed every room in the house, and I have very little input, and she doesn't really care about my input. And that works out well for us because I don't want to be asked questions. I'm not particularly interested in helping make decisions. But she was, like, very bothered. And she's like, well, that's weird. What did you order? And I wouldn't tell her, and she was asking all these yes or no questions. And I didn't have answers to a lot of it, but I tried to answer as much as I could. So this thing was supposed to have shipped like a week ago. It didn't ship, and this saga has gone on and on. And finally yesterday during the show, I got a text saying this thing was coming to the house. This big mystery was going to end. And so I was telling you about it. You don't know what it is. Only you think Thommy knew what this was of everybody on planet Earth other than me. So here is the deal. I got the shipment yesterday. I went outside right when the show was over. She said, the box is out there. So I go out to big box, very thin, but very like big square box. So I bring it in. Okay. I recorded her opening it. I'm going to post all the videos to my story on Instagram if you guys want to see them at Grant H. Paulson a little bit later today. But the verdict, Danny, on what I ordered for my house, NASCAR Paulson ordered a scuffed quarter panel from that Jones Boys 20 car. This is a Bristol-used race car, like door, basically. It's a quarter panel. I don't know enough about cars. It's like where above the tire to the back of the trunk kind of area.
Yeah, it's the passenger side rear wheel, pretty much.
There you go, Tommy. It is scuffed to hell because if you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing. And he was up against the wall in Bristol. It's like a big piece of a race car that I'm trying to hang in the living room. And my wife is furious about, so it's going to end up in the basement.
So, you're hanging a door.
So that's what it is.
You're trying to hang a car door.
I told her that this this item was going to show how much I've changed since we got married, because I've never been into racing. I've just kind of, more than anything, I don't want to say I rolled my eyes, because I enjoyed it at times. I knew people that dug it and asked questions about it. But during the pandemic, I started watching these races, and I've really enjoyed it, and I'm watching all the races and trying to text and ask questions. People like Thommy, who's been in for years and years. But I didn't have anything at all in the man cave, in the basement, anywhere in the house that I got all these other things and jerseys hanging everywhere and stuff. And I'm going, well, if I'm NASCAR Paulson and I'm rocking, you know, I'm a big fan of that Jones boy who's going from the 20 car to the 43 car, I need to show that somehow. So I got on his website and I went to his garage and I got a piece of his car.
Wow. That's a great payoff. I thought it was going to be a jersey. I thought it was going to be something framed, like maybe a big picture, because it's like the Nationals World Series anniversary of the Game 7 win, which is this Friday. I thought it was going to be timely with that. You were worried it wasn't going to come in time. I never envisioned you would order a used car door in a frame. That never occurred to me. And, oh, do I love this. I love that this is going to be a source of conflict. This is the leg lamp from A Christmas Story.
I think she likes the color a little bit, so he drives a million different paint job type cars, but this is yellow and black, like Stanley is the
Stanley DeWalt 20.
That's right. So this is like it's I'll post a picture. It's yellow and black.
I love this. Get the scale of it too.
Yeah.
Is there any way you could have your darling bride, who is the victim in all this, I could say, standing next to it in some way? I think her expression would be worth a million followers.
Yeah, I think I could do that. I think that's reasonable. But the video of her opening it, she's like, oh, my God, you're kidding me. She's like, you're joking, right?
And
I'm like, no, I'm not joking. She's like, I knew it. I knew it was something NASCAR, like with such disdain. Like, how did you? I've never bought anything NASCAR. What are you talking about?
No, it was NASCAR.
You knew it was NASCAR.
You didn't know. But
Grant,
you knew.
What is she going to be more mad at? The credit card bill or just the size of that thing?
I'd say both. Probably the size, though. Listen.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.